How's everybody? Yay! Now see? I know who that is. That's the same person that said it was nice enough to go fishing now. We met each other at the door and I said, man, it's a beautiful morning. Yeah, I said, the wind's not blowing. He said, yeah, we need to go fishing. So that's the first thing that came to his mind. I respect that. Hey, did you get one of these when you came in? All right, if you didn't get one, just stick your hand up and we'll make sure that Scott or somebody gets you one. You're going to need this later. What we're going to do is, on the back of this is a place for you to write. Now let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to do something very special for your pastor. One of the things that will tell your pastor about you is if you pray for him. And so we're going to begin today praying for our pastor. I mean, we don't know who he is, but that's okay, right? So we're going to begin praying with him, and we're going to write a brief prayer on the back of this. And I'll explain to you here in just a second what that's all about. I need to tell you about my grandma. By the time we're done here, you're going to know my whole family. They're very entertaining. I'm the boring one. And they are an endless source of preaching illustrations and entertainment. My grandma, we called her back in the day Granny Jo. She lived to be 96 years old. She lived in Sepulpa, lived by herself. She was a widow. My grandpa died when I was just one, and so she spent almost half her life as a widow in Sepulpa. Lived in a duplex there with an old sister or cousin in the other side of the duplex. Lived there all the time that I knew her. Originally, my family is from Cow Creek or Choska Bottom or Haskell, if you're from Coweta, you know, if you're from around here, you know all that. So she was a godly woman. She was very fun. She was my fun grandma. We would come to visit her, and of course, she just lived in this little duplex, so there wasn't any room in it. She didn't have a head of hair. She didn't have any hair on her head. But she had a wig that she wore like a ball cap. And so, you know, if we were like going to go out to the store or anything, she would say, just a second, let me put my wig on. Okay, let's go. All right. So you just kind of know that's the way Granny Jo was. She was pretty cool. She didn't have too many requirements in life. She had to watch the world turn every day. And then she had to watch her soap opera. If y'all don't know, I know many of you do. And that's not a critique. So, as I said, she was a godly woman. She went to the same church most of the time, most of her life, or most of the time that I knew her. When she died, her pastors from the last two or three churches that she had been in over the last 80 or so years preached her funeral. All of them. You could have filled two churches with the number of people that were there. We all had to stand outside, and I'm her grandson. She had 12 children. And most of them made it to adulthood. And so I have a lot of aunts and uncles in this area. And when Grandma died, there were a lot of people at her funeral. And Grandma would take these slips of paper, and as she prayed for members of her family, she would write those prayers on a slip of paper, and then she would put it in a jar, and she had all her jars. And at her funeral, they took those slips out and read them, and it was jars full of answered prayer. And everyone that was in the room knew that they were in answered prayer because she had prayed for all of them. You know, we can say, I'll pray for you. But there just aren't very many things that we can do to demonstrate that that's actually the truth. And so what I would like for us to do is to pray for our pastor and to show him that we're praying for him. From now until he comes, these will be available every Sunday. And we're going to put these in a container and give them to him when he comes. And so I want to take this opportunity this morning to talk about how we give it to him. So, like I said, Granny Jo was 96, and she was pretty awesome. She made a great lemon cheesecake. My brother and I went to visit her 1 week. We stayed there for a whole week. He gained 5 pounds. I was thinking about that the other day. She had to have made 3 or 4 cheesecakes that week. She must have spent the whole week making cheesecake for my brother. So this is what we're going to put our prayers in. All right? This is a piece of hard rock maple. It's made into a wood bowl. I made it this week. I started on Monday. And this bowl is crafted with a lot of prayer for your new pastor. I want to show you how I made it. It's important. We have some pictures. Let's see. There we go. Oh, I have a lot of bowls. This is one cabinet in my house. I know, it's a problem. Move on. So what I did was I found this hunk of wood. Now, this wood, I didn't just find it. It wasn't just laying around. It was actually in northern Ohio on a tree that was about 50 feet tall. It was a huge tree. It's an old piece of maple, and it was at my brother's house. And he took that tree out, and we harvested everything that we could out of that tree for wood. And this is what it looked like after I cut it out of the tree, brought it home from Ohio, and dried and cured it for 4 or 5 years. It has to be dry to turn. And so this piece of wood has been sitting around for 4 or 5 years waiting for when it would be useful. Because at this point, it's just firewood, right? And it's really not very pretty. But move along, Kim, thank you. I got her cut down into a shape. And at this point, I really didn't know what shape it was going to be because it has a lot of flaws in it. You can see there's a huge crack in it, all right? And this end of it was starting to get pretty deteriorated. You can see the black on the picture. But I started to cut it out, and we moved along, and I prayed that it wouldn't fall apart. And by the way, I have been known to tie it together with barbed wire so that it will hold together long enough for me to fix it. But what I do with that crack then is I just fill it up, right? Fill it with a bunch of resin. You guys watch the YouTube videos. You know how that works. And so it's not very pretty. It's going to get ugly before it gets pretty. But after that dries and sets and everything, which only takes about 15 minutes, then I can turn all the ugly part off and you get the pretty part. And so you start to see how it's going to look. And I also got the inside hollowed out. Remember, when you make something like this, you're throwing away most of the wood, right? It's almost all. There's not much left of what was originally there. But it's starting to look nice. And so I kept at it. This was like Wednesday or Thursday. And I started sanding it, and it got prettier. And I knew, oh, gosh, this is going to be pretty. And I think I have a video. There it is, of when it was like, okay, this is really going to be something nice. I even left the indentions there in the bottom that were just natural holes in the wood. I just left it there. I didn't fill it up. And then we finally got her finished, and that's what's up here right now. So we're going to put our prayers inside this bowl. Now, this thing had some flaws. Like I said, it has a lot of flaws in it. It's cracked from here to kingdom come, but it is maple, so it's not going to just fall apart. And I think those look neat. And then, of course, there's the parts that are filled. Some of the flaws were already there. I mean, some of the flaws were in this piece of wood when we cut it off the tree, right? Are you with me? Hello? But some of the flaws were introduced while I was turning it. Because in spite of the fact that it was dried and cured for 4 or 5 years, there was enough moisture in this bowl that when I cut all the wood away, it started to dry out really quick, and it started to crack on me. And so some of the flaws were just introduced in the process of making it, right? I always tell people that I think that these things are like our lives. They are not pretty. But what God does is He comes in and He fills in these spaces. And He burnishes us. And He smooths the edges and does all the things so that when it's all said and done, it's prettier than it was to start with, isn't it? I make a lot of these. Some of them I use fill on and some of them I don't. If I put two bowls that are just like each other, side by side, and one of them has fill in it and one of them does not, guess which one people will choose every single time? The fill. It's beautiful. What God does in our lives to correct our own flaws is far more beautiful than anything that we would do. So, we're going to use this. Now, God has something to say about these things, actually. And so, if you would turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Let's read this together. If y'all would stand, let's read this together. We should always stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 and 21. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You may be seated. It is important to know that what Paul is doing in 2 Timothy here, writing to Timothy, is he is talking to him about the need to remain clean. The churches were starting to be infiltrated with false teaching. People have figured out that if they could come up with a good story, they could probably sell it to any church. And so there were guys who were coming in who were leading the people in a wrong direction. They were false teachers. And one of the main purposes of this writing to Timothy is to alert him to how all this is going to happen. Because this is familiar to you probably. Later on, he's going to say, listen, the day is going to come when people are not going to endure the truth. They're going to want their ears tickled. They're going to want you to tell them what they want to hear. Don't do that. All right? And so that's really what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. But he uses a very interesting illustration of a house with vessels in it, doesn't he? And how does he describe these vessels? First he says it's a large house. We don't know what that house is. Is Paul talking about the church? I don't know. Maybe. Is he talking about the kingdom of God? Perhaps, not likely. Is he talking about just a house? Probably. He's just saying, listen, where you live, in a house, any nice home, there are going to be all kinds of vessels in that home. Now, not everybody has a cabinet like mine that is stacked with vessels, but I bet your kitchen has lots of bowls in it, right? All right? And so what he's saying is simply that some of them are really fancy. Some of them are gold and silver, and some of them are pottery and wood. And some of them are used for a noble purpose, and some of them are used for an ignoble purpose, right? I got you. And so the implication is that some of those things, those gold and silver things, are noble, and the wood and clay things are not, which I obviously have an issue with. Why are gold and silver so special? We know why the gold and silver are special, because they have what we would call intrinsic value, inherent value. What does that mean? It means that they are by themselves valuable, that they don't have to be turned into anything. They don't have to have anything done to them. They don't have to accomplish anything. If you dig a piece of gold out of the ground, it's valuable, isn't it? And so it has intrinsic value. Silver, very similarly. Why do they have intrinsic value? Why do they have inherent value? Well, because they hold up really well. You could melt it and make it anything you want, and it's still going to be okay. It's not going to go to pieces on you. You can take something that's already made and of gold and make it into something else. In fact, there's a whole bunch of businesses now that are making a living out of buying your gold and silver jewelry, isn't there? I mean, they have value, period. It doesn't matter whether it means anything to you. It has value. And the value is so long-term and stable that it's actually, I mean, it's the basis for our currency, isn't it? Gold always has value. It never doesn't have value. Fire doesn't destroy it. Fire actually purifies it, and it can be used over and over again. That's why it's precious, and that's why you have vessels made of precious things. Wood and clay have no intrinsic value, right? I mean, that stuff is... clay and wood are literally laying around on the ground. It doesn't have any value. If it's going to have value, you have to do something with it, don't you? You have to make it into something. But once you make it into something, you don't get to make it into anything else. It will be very hard for me to make this into anything else. Okay? So wood and clay don't have any intrinsic value. They don't have any inherent value. This is how we come into the world, with no intrinsic value. It's funny that this is, it's interesting that this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. If you're in the second service, you're going to get to hear our friend Gary Davis speak. Gary, we're really glad you're here today. But neither of these clay or wood have any value on their own. You have to turn them into something to make it something. Paul says that the world is divided into two groups, noble and ignoble. And the example is gold is noble and wood is ignoble. And so he says here in verse 20, some are honor and some to dishonor. Now remember, he's talking about false teachers. So what he's saying is that, listen, these guys are vessels just like anybody else. They look like somebody else. They act like somebody else. They hold water like somebody else, but they're really not of value. They're not gold and silver. They're wood and clay. So don't waste your time with that. And in fact, you know, the encouragement here is so strong about false teaching, one might believe that we should be very careful. In fact, in verse 21, it says, if anyone cleanses himself from these things. So like Paul, I mean, he leaves this illustration of a house and vessels, and now all of a sudden he's talking about us. And he says, we've got to cleanse ourselves from these things. And in fact, some translations say, purge ourselves of these things. So this is problematic. I mean, this metaphor he's using of a house and vessels is really getting messed up, because I don't think that vessels can become gold by getting rid of the wood vessels. Does that make any sense? You know what I'm saying? He says, purge yourself of these things. What? Wood and clay? Will I become gold and silver if I do that? No. So the illustration does not hold up. The metaphor does not hold up. In verse 21, we're not talking about vessels anymore. We're talking about people. All right? And he says, purge yourself of these things. Cleanse yourself of these things. Is he saying get rid of the false teachers? He might be. But that's a problem too, because in the church, we're really not in the habit of kicking people out, although that may be an outcome of what we do. We're really more interested in getting people in, aren't we? And so this whole purging and cleansing thing doesn't make sense unless we are talking about what is within us. Because you see, the thing is, in the kingdom of God, all that is created by Him has value. The question is it intrinsic value or is it eternal value? Because some things have eternal value. Their gold and silver things have eternal value. Wood and clay things have eternal value, not because they will be preserved, but because of what is within them. It is what is within us that gives us value. This is a hunk of wood. It has no intrinsic value. It has no inherent value. When we fill it with examples of our prayers to the pastor and he receives this, it will have great eternal value. When we make a prayerful and loving investment in one another, that has eternal value. And so today we're gonna spend some time praying. Because Paul is really clear. We have to cleanse ourselves of these things. What are these things? These things are all of the things that dishonor God. All of the things in our lives. What are those? Well, you probably know better than I. But there are plenty of things in our lives that we need to ask God to cleanse us of, to be forgiven of, so that we can be vessels which God can fill and use for His own purpose. Why would God occupy a vessel that is corrupt or contaminated? He won't do it. And so we cleanse ourselves of all the false things that we have heard, and there's plenty of them that we have been exposed to, and instead purify ourselves so that we can be used by the Master, purposeful. I don't know if y'all have ever read Philemon, or in Oklahoma it's Philemon, but it's a little tiny letter in the New Testament. It's one chapter long. And it's about this guy named Onesimus, who used to be at a church. He was a slave. It wasn't going well. He left. He went to visit Paul. And Paul sent him back with a letter that we now have as Philemon. And in the letter, he says, listen, Onesimus was at your church. And he was useless. In fact, his name, Onesimus, means useless. And Paul writes a letter back to the church and said, listen, he's coming back. I want you to receive him because what was once useless has become useful. God does this with everything in His kingdom because He is a redeeming God. He's a redeemer. He's going to redeem all things for His glory. And even those things, those vessels that we might think are useless, God will make useful. Not because they're made out of anything precious, but because of what He has filled it with. And so we're going to take some time to pray this morning, and it's going to be kind of a guided prayer. But what I would like for us to do is to begin first by praying for ourselves. All right? I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything, but I would like for you to get comfortable where you are and prepare to pray, which means that we need to kind of push out all the distractions, all the things that are going on. If you got stuff in your lap you're looking at, just set it off to the side for a second. Let's begin by praying for ourselves. Let's ask God to show us our sin. Show us the areas of our lives that need to be cleansed. And then, specifically, ask Him to cleanse those things. Ask Him to make us clean and pure vessels for His purpose. Then, I want us to pray for our church. It's a great church. Every week, I look forward with great anticipation to being with you. It's delightful. The Spirit is good. God is good. And so, let's pray for our church that God would protect us, that we would be pure with our teaching, and that we would be useful to the Lord. And then finally, I want us to pray for our pastor. And this is where I want you to take a moment and write your prayer, or at least two or three sentences of the prayer on that piece of paper. And then in a few moments, I will guide us, and I would like for us to come one by one, or two by two, however you want to do it, we'll be safe, and put that prayer, just fold it up, put it in there. We're going to keep them. We're going to close it and keep them. Every week, that's going to be right there. Every week at our time of invitation, I'm going to invite you to come. All right? You may want to come and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today, if you do not have a relationship with God, He can make you useful. If you're wondering, what is my purpose in life? What is it that I'm here for? Why do I even exist? I can tell you, God has made you specifically for His purpose. And you may not feel like much now, but He can make you a wonderful thing. If you need to come and pray, I encourage you to do that when you bring your prayer down, which you can do at any time during our prayer time. You may want to stop here at the altar and pray as well. So let's remember, if you need a sheet of paper, we'll get them handed out to you. Pray for yourself. Pray for our church. Pray for our pastor. If you need a sheet to write your prayer on, just stick your hand up. We have some folks who will give them to you. All right? Let's bow our heads and pray.